The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the Extra Lap RC Podcast. Tonight you have just me and some other guy. Who's the other guy?
It is me. Hello.
Hello, Joey. How are you?
I'm all right, Tom. How are you?
Tired, jet-lagged, grumpy, usual, you know.
Nothing of the norm apart from jet-lagged life.
No, just exactly the same. Just grumpy. There we go. It's all good fun. So anyway, we thought we'd do an episode and talk about Joey's amazing truck national, where he didn't suck. And then we can talk about some little race that took place in America. Yeah, so anyway, let's get on to, well, we usually have a little bit of format, but we're not going to tonight because I've done no research, no looking around. To be honest, we've just had the Worlds. There's no exciting news about. We are in full silly season, but nothing really big apart from yourself staying at Schumacher.
But I believe so, yes.
I practically live at Schumacher, so I won't be going anywhere. David Rolofolk left Miyako under a little bit of a get out of there early. So I'm sure we'll see where he goes at some point. On the domestic scene, Alan O'Brien left. We weren't that bothered.
Who's she?
Exactly. And who else? That's been about it, really. I think Alan was the first one to kind of announce, bye, guys, I'm going. Oh, no, and our friend of the show left, who, you know, didn't he? He's not friend anymore, I don't think. Mr., you know, Stotfold himself, Mr. Carter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, dead to me.
Mr. Alex.
Dead.
Yeah, that's a shame, but like he said, you know, he served his time. He got Schumacher in a good spot in the south. It's always, like I say, a Stotfold regular, so.
And to be fair, Alan's been there a long time as well. I know he had a little blip where his brain melted, but apart from that, he has been there a long time. So, yeah, go try something new. You know, it's that's what it's about. It's not, you know, just because we don't like him anymore, I'm sure someone else will.
Yeah, so, there's someone out there for everyone.
So let's get into it. You went to a truck national. Where was it to?
It was at A1 Raceway.
Okay. And what was it? Was it the last round of the truck nationals?
It was, yes.
Nice. So did you?
Obviously, we haven't done any others, so it was a learning experience.
Okay, so that's your first excuse. So back to my previous question: did you dominate?
No.
No. You made the A, though.
I made the A.
So that's a national A final.
This is true.
It's up there with a rain assist, but it's a national A final.
Indeed.
Did you get any rain there? Did you have a rain assist?
No, there was it spat, but it didn't like do enough to wreck the track.
What tires were you using there?
We used J Concepts. I can't remember what the fronts are called. Swaggers, I think.
Yep, Swaggers.
On the front, and then Schumacher mini pins on the rear.
Okay. What about when it rained? You just stay on the mini pins.
It didn't. It, like I say, it didn't rain enough to make the track wet.
Okay.
So it was just stayed on the yellows.
And were you using the new Storm 2 truck?
I was indeed.
What do you think of it?
Build quality is good.
Yeah.
General handling, general running, all good.
Good.
Enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good. And trust me, if Joey thought it was crap, no matter if he's sponsored by him or not, he would tell you it's crap. So you enjoyed
it. I love
trucks,
which is good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like a beginner class. Who won anyway?
Matt Thompson won overall on the day. And then Mr. Tony Bishop won the overall series.
Oh, okay. So it was like part-time truck racers, apart from Bish.
Pretty much, yeah.
Thompson obviously needed to go trophy hunting.
Well, he's not been very well, has he? So he's allowed a win.
Exactly. Was he feeling a lot better?
I believe so, yes. I believe he was all right.
So why did you not get on the podium?
Several factors.
Right, what's the first excuse? See if we can help with that.
There's no excuses. It just boils down to, well, me not driving properly or just other scores going away in the favour of others.
Okay.
Although I will throw this one out there. Yeah, I think it was leg one. Bish crashed early. Thompson got away. I was in second, held Bish for about 6 or 7 laps.
Yeah.
I think Bish was just getting frustrated, but that's understandable.
Yeah.
Bish decides, second to last lap, decides to bin me off. And Jim Dixon got through for the two in that leg. Leg two, I crashed. Obviously, it was in my hands at that point, but I managed to get back up. I managed to get back to fourth. And then going into the last leg, I needed possibly a three to get anywhere.
Right.
And I almost. I got another four, but other people had scored better scores, and obviously the overalls went against me. But it is what it is. But yeah, it was good. It was an enjoyable day. Minimal drama,
which is always good.
Yeah. There was some niggly little bits, but I don't know whether it falls down to the section or it falls down to the club, but it was interesting to say the least.
Okay. Well, what can I
but
say?
It was a national, but it wasn't obviously because we hadn't done the series or there was no major pressure involved with it all.
Oh, okay.
It was just go out and enjoy myself and
well, that's what you should do at any race, to be fair.
Well, yeah, of course.
And obviously you've come off of quite a good national season for yourself. You got your F2N, so your the buggy side of it's kind of covered. Where are you racing next?
Possibly Robin Hood this weekend coming for the Autumn Cup.
With the truck?
With the truck, yes. And then after that, we get started into Worksop.
Oh, yes. Yes, which I believe, I've been told, is filling up very fast. So if you've not entered, I'd get your entries in.
And because I know he'd want me to say something, Muzz has allowed trucks back at Worksop, which is beautiful for me and also damning at the same time.
Why is it damning? What, because like some people with some talent are actually going to race them?
This is true. I will no longer be able to say that I am Worksop truck champion after this winter is finished.
You might be.
Well, pfft. Yeah.
Take them all out, put them into the wall.
There's a lot to go right in my favour for.
Break them.
For it to be me.
Break
them. It's a good thing I know the referee and he might have to divvy out some penalties.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So, yeah. Okay. So, and what will that be, your winter kind of racing program? Just the Worksop series?
No, I'd like to go to Telford, give their new track a spin prior to possible nationals next year. And I've also looked at doing Stockfold as well.
Oh, okay.
None of them. Well, none of the workshop rounds clash with anything, but Telford and Stockfold's last two dates clash, so I've got to choose wisely.
Okay.
What about yourself?
It'll just be workshop. I've sworn to myself I'm not going to race any of that horrible, stupid carpet. So, yeah, it'll probably just be workshop, bit of Telford, maybe some Mendip. That's going to be about it. I'm going to try and... I know this sounds a bit sad for RC racers, but actually try and do less this winter.
Have a little bit of a break.
I'm not burnt out, but I'm certainly it'd just be nice to have a bit of a break. It was a pretty with Euros and everything. It's been a pretty intense summer, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
As you know well. So it's just got maybe a little bit of a chilled winter. Got a few little like sad vintage RC projects I want to mess around with. This is pure vintage though, not big bores on a not modern.
It's okay to mess with vintage as long as you don't race the vintage.
Well, I won't be racing it. It's mainly to sit on the shelf and look at or take out with the lad or something. But yeah, definitely not going to race vintage. It's not my style. So yeah.
No, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants to see that. Imagine doing a race report for vintage. Just imagine it. Anyway, right. Charlie, is there any other gossip? Can't think of anything.
No, it's been, considering it's the run-up to silly season and all that jazz, it's been relatively quiet. No big shakers or movers, as it were.
Not yet.
Not yet, but...
But I suppose the pros, most of their contracts are the 1st of January, so...
And like you said, we just had the Worlds and stuff as well, so they're probably just settling down before...
Yeah, exactly.
Which obviously leads me on to my next bit. You obviously went to the Worlds.
Apparently obviously. So.
Non-driver, which is a bizarre thing for me, but...
Well, yeah, but I think having seen how difficult it was, I'm glad I didn't race. It looked tough, so I think not racing and just supporting the team was a much better option this time around.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was a good time. It was, I'm sure plenty saw the crap I put on Facebook. Although I didn't go mad on Facebook while I was over there. I tried to enjoy it and not go silly on the social media. So, it was cool. It seems a long time ago that we went. I traveled with Ben Smith and Simon Smith, Eugene Galley and Steve Pierce. We kind of mixed it in with a little bit. We had a little bit of like a holiday to begin with before we went to the Worlds. So we took Smithy to Vegas, which was...
Did he love every minute of it?
Well, I think my favorite bit of it, and probably a story that unfortunately you'll probably hear 100 times, but the rest won't, is where we land into Vegas and I said to Simon, it's hot outside. And he went, yeah, be all right. He said, I've been a Tenerife now. I know what it's like. Literally, we got our baggage, which he was like a gazelle to get his OGO bag. I think he was convinced it was not going to make it to Vegas. So he gets his OGO bag and we have to go outside to get the hire car. And I've never seen a guy move so quick. Literally, the doors opened. He stepped outside, looked at me and went, you're joking, right? And just stepped back indoors.
I could imagine. I can imagine.
It was like, I don't know if anyone has ever seen the film Cool Runnings, but like they step outside, don't they? And they go back in and put clothes on and go back out. It was kind of the opposite of that. Smithy stepped out and just went, nah, walked back in. And we had to kind of like drag him back out. And he's a big guy. And it was, I think it was 44 degrees when we were in Vegas.
Wow.
And Yeah, he stood in the, we were waiting in the queue to go and get our hire car, and he was sweating, and he's like, I can't do a week and a half of this. So we got the hire car, which was a nice big 7-seater tank. Worst handling car. It handled worse than any PR ever drove, put it that way.
Wow.
It was horrendous because it was so big and wobbly, and it was just, you know, like four fat blokes in it. Well, Eugene's not fat, but you know, it kind of wobbled around. So we took that, we went to stay in the Luxor Hotel. Quite funny, Stevie Sheridan was also in the same hotel, who, for those that know, is the Scottish regional rep.
He was on his holidays, wasn't he?
He was on his holidays, but we never saw him the whole time we were there. We were like messaging to try and meet up, but like it just never worked. Either they were at a show or we were somewhere else, and it never kind of worked out. But we met up with Crompton and the Holdsworths on the first night, had a bit of a chat with them. And on the Thursday, I think it was, we took Simon and Ben and all of them down. We walked the entire Las Vegas Strip in 44 degrees heat.
Smithy was a bit wet.
I was surprised Smithy didn't die. We got all the way to the stratosphere, went up to the top of the stratosphere, had a few drinks up there, came down, got on the monorail, got back, looked at our phones, and we'd walked like 14 miles.
Not bad going then.
That heat, which was pretty horrendous. And then we dragged him out because he wanted to see the fountains at the Bellagio in the evening. We dragged him back out, and they only lasted like 6 minutes, and he went, oh, is that it? And then we had to walk all the way back. And I think in the evening it was still like 40 degrees.
Ouch.
So Vegas was cool. You know, Vegas is Vegas. We then went to a place, we drove from Vegas on the Friday to a place called Lake Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you Google it, it has a bridge from London there. Now that sounds crazy, but they basically took a bridge that was over the River Thames apart brick by brick and numbered them and rebuilt this bridge in the middle of the Arizona desert and then built a lake around it.
Oh.
So it's really bizarre. We're sat, again, it was quite hot, eating food in just under this London bridge. I'd seen it when I was a kid, but I wanted to like go back there because it was one of those things, it's just a bit surreal because it is in the middle of the desert. So we stayed there, I think, Friday night, and then on the Saturday morning, got up fairly early, drove to Phoenix to the house and to where we were racing. And if Smithy thought it couldn't get any worse, we got to Phoenix and it was 48 degrees. I think it took some coaxing to get him out of the truck in the car park of Hobby Action.
I don't think he's ever going to complain about the UK weather ever again, is he?
No, it was that, even for me, that was warm. But we got into the building, which was air conditioned, and I think he cooled down and then got hot again. So he had to go outside to go up the tires.
Yes.
So, and from that, the race meeting started on the Sunday, and I think I was there 35 minutes before someone said, yeah, we've run out of tires. Which is not really what you want to hear, because at that point, we had 5 or 6 UK drivers with no tires.
Ouch.
So, which wasn't ideal. So that was on the Saturday. So the first day of practice was the Sunday. Get the Sunday morning team managers meeting. Larry, that owns the place, said, "I've screwed up. I've not ordered enough tires." Fair enough. He was honest, and as people saw on Facebook or in videos, put his hand up, went, "Yeah, I didn't order enough." Which is, you know, these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they worked. They did some maths. I think practice was meant to start at 9 o'clock. It got delayed till 12:30, so they could work out. There were some people that glued tires, some that had tires in their boxes that they hadn't glued. So between all the teams working together and people working together, we managed to get it. So everybody had 4 sets, which was what they had for the whole meeting. So you could only use 4 sets. If you made the final, you got a 5th set. So it made it. It could, if the tire wear was really high, I think we could have had a potential issue. lucky enough that with the misting systems and the way the dirt is there, it wasn't killing tires. I think they were getting like 3 runs out of them.
Well, that's not too
bad. And obviously it kept the tire bill down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you that think, yeah, this is great, controlled sets of tires, let's do it at Nationals. It is great. I agree, it is great. I 100% agree, but I'm going to get this in there. They had a crew of 10 people teching tires and wheels, and it was done amazing. The lady that was running tire tech there, I tell you, you would not mess with her. She would crush your head in her thighs, put it that way. She was scary.
But people also forget that, you know, we don't have all this help to be at tracks.
We don't. But, you know, that was why it kind of worked there. You know, and because the tire wear was not very high, you didn't get any silliness of people sitting out rounds or sitting out qualifying or anything like that. So that was the kind of the first thing to hit us on the practice morning. But they got round it and we started practice at 12:30. On the internet, it seemed a really big deal. At the racetrack, everyone was like, fine, let's get on with it. And to be fair, that was probably the biggest bit of drama from the event, apart from a small little few niggly things. I read on a couple of people's Facebook pages, oh, you know, this, I've heard this is going on and that. I can tell you what it wasn't. It was a fairly basic, quiet Worlds. So that was the practice day on, the only downside was the practice day on the Sunday that started at 12. I think Jamie Hall, who managed to, you know, because it's not rounds 1 to 14, it's like a Euros, as you know, Joey, they stagger it. So I think Jamie Hall was on in the last heat. I think they left the track at 10:45. Sunday night. Yeah.
Incredible.
Everyone was a bit like over this.
And I could imagine. I wouldn't want to be at the track gone 7, let alone 10.
I think the only good thing is I think some of them, because their hotel was across the road, they saw they had like a 3-hour break, so they went back to their hotel and just chill out and then come back.
No, that's all right.
But that was a better option than saying, well, let's have less practice rounds. I think the guys rather have the practice. Then we jumped into, this is four-wheel drive, because they ran four-wheel drive first at this event to try and I thought this was a weird one. They ran four-wheel drive to try and put some rubber down on the dirt. But they changed the layout for two-wheel drive. So that, but I quite liked the idea of running four-wheel drive first. You know, it did work. It did what they wanted it to. It gripped up the track a little bit. And I think on some sections of the track in two-wheel drive that they were using the same bits, there was a bit more grip. But then I think on the bits that they hadn't touched, that's when you'd lose it with a two-wheel drive because it's fresh. So, and as for the surface, it's clay. We don't race on it in the UK. So, you know, a few of our drivers struggled on it. A few got to grips with it. Straight out the blocks, Ben Smith was on it. His car actually looked one of the best cars going around.
Boy was on fire.
He was doing well. So that was great in four-wheel drive. From a Schumacher point of view, as a British manufacturer, they were, I think at one point, they were looking like we might have 3 cars in the A with Orlowski, Brock, and Cav. Unfortunately, it ended up only being Orlowski and Brock in the final. Cav didn't quite make it. But still, he finished 15th overall, so in the B. So he was there or thereabout. So that was good. And then we got into the finals, and basically, I ain't going to lie, David Ongaro just gave everybody a show. The kid is unreal. No, you know, there's no... Even Michael Orlowski came second. He was like, that kid is amazing. You know, and he became the first, they haven't really said much about it, but he's the only person ever to hold the 1/8 and 1/10 title at the same time.
Yeah.
No one's ever done that.
No.
Mark Pervitas has won both, but in years apart.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about David Ongara now. He's been world champion in 8th for 2 consecutive times, and now he's world champion in 10th off-road. What a talent.
The kid is unreal.
And from I think it was Craig Drescher said it, it started to get a little bit of like a Ryder Cup feel at the Worlds. It was kind of Europe versus USA. And
yes.
And I can tell you now, the whole, the, you know, whoever you drove for, it didn't matter. The whole of the European team was cheering on Ongara and Orlowski because we were beating the Americans. Spencer, though, did manage to get into 2nd. At a couple points, I think, in the finals, you may have saw, I think Spencer was actually quicker, but he just couldn't quite find a way through. He was gutted not to win. I mean, you could see how much it meant to him. And these guys are putting a lot of time into this. And the same with Mikau. I mean, he had the pace and he was on it. He just couldn't quite match David come the end. But still coming 3rd, putting a Schumacher on the podium, which, you know, it's great for a British manufacturer out there racing against all the American manufacturers. So we were quite chuffed, and Tris was a happy bunny. So Michael was a little bit disappointed. Obviously, he's had a 3rd. He wants to win it, and you know what? You can't take that away from the lad. You know,
no, never.
He's going to feel a little bit, but, you know, 3rd at the World, still not something to be sniffed at. There's plenty of us out there, I'm sure, including you and me, that could only ever dream of those types of things. But, you know, he's dreaming of winning. And then I think it will come, that it will happen, as long as he can keep his head in it and just keep going. So, yeah, it was good. And Ben Smith ended up 31st. He won his final, which was cool, but a little bit gutting because they give out trophies to the top 30, so he missed it by 1 place.
Yeah, that's a bit naff.
Which was a little bit of a bummer. I think they should have given out trophies to people that won the finals, but that's not how every Worlds I've been to, that is how they do it. So it's just one of those things. Tommy Hall was 36, were really good as well for Tommy. Crompton 52nd, Ed Callan 58th, Jamie Hall 68th, Gemmo 76th, Dom Nunn, who hasn't done a lot of 10th, 78th. Your mate Venables, 82nd. Hardy Eldridge, 83rd. Josh, 94th. Yazir was 101st. William Callan, 107th. Manny Panesar, 117th. Freddie Russell, 122. Then Mick Kloss, 135. And Michael Moyes, 136. So, quite a spread there. But mm-hmm. They went there, they did it, and they tried. And, you know, anyone that says, well, you know, what's the point of going all that way and coming 136. Well, the point is you're racing for your country at the Worlds. So, you know, that's the point of it. It doesn't matter where you come. In my opinion, you're there and you're doing it. So, yeah, it was good. And that was really four-wheel drive. And then the nice thing about the Worlds, which I wish they'd do at Euros, is the Wednesday was a day off. Can you guess where we went on our day off?
You didn't go anywhere. You stayed at the house.
Incorrect. Guess again. I'll give you one more guess.
You went to the track.
Yep. And do you know why we went to the track? Because they were streaming live and Simon Smith was watching it on TV and he's like, come on, we need to go to the track. I want to glue some tires. I think he just had a little bit of like fear of missing out. The old FOMO.
FOMO.
So you know what we did? We took him to the track and just left him there and went and did our own thing. I think we ended up going back to the house and swimming all afternoon while Smithy was gluing tires. We took our Australian friend Luke Prattley with us. And basically he got probably mentally abused for about 2 hours in the swimming pool because we were just convincing him that New Zealand are shit at everything.
Apart from the rugby.
No, they're not that good at that either. We said that, but he wasn't convinced they're that good at that. So, yeah. So, and so any of our New Zealand listeners, which would probably just be Luke Prattley and Mark Gregory, New Zealand are rubbish. So, that was the Wednesday. We had to go back. We had to go back and pick up Smithy, unfortunately. We'd have probably quite happily left him there. And then on to two-wheel drive, which looks so hard. Honestly, Joey, you know, like when we raced in the wet.
Mm-hmm.
It looked, the first heat looked worse than racing on the wettest, slipperiest Astro you've ever raced with. I don't think I'd seen so many cars spin around. And even like watching Mayfield, he was struggling to keep the thing from just turning around on itself. So when you say, why didn't you race? That was a good enough reason. It looked horrible. Absolutely horrible. And the only, and I think in the two wheel drive, they were limited to 6 pairs of rears.
Uh-huh.
With the guy, the top guys, if they make the A, getting an extra pair. And, you know, these are slicks. There is no tread on them. They are a pure slick tire, no additive, nothing. I think the only drama, this, you'll like this for drama. Here's some two wheel drive voodoo for you. So in the, when the drivers are waiting to warm up, their mechanics were holding the cars by their tires into their shirts and just trying to keep the tires, trying to keep, get like some kind of heat into them.
Okay.
Well, a team actually put in a, or not a team, a country actually put in a complaint about it, because they reckon that people were putting additive on their shirts and then like rubbing the tires into it.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, okay.
Which was quite funny, and I think maybe some of those were pointing at teams that have white shirts. And it was quite funny trying to explain to people, if they had additive on their shirt and they're rubbing their tires in it, I think you'd have 2 black marks on your T-shirt.
Yeah.
You'd quite get away with it. I think it was just some mind games going on. We ended up, I think, like a 2-hour, 2-hour team managers meeting that, for once, wasn't filmed by the guys that did the filming, because that wasn't funny. And they were sort of saying, "Okay, well, you can't hold the tires by your hands, you can't warm them." And we were like, "So what's the penalty? Will you get a warning?" We've only got 1 more round of qualifying, so we'll just do it anyway and take the warning. You know, and it took a fair bit of common sense to come out that you can't stop what they're doing. The rules say no tire warmers or devices. Well, your hands are not a device. So
no.
I think that rattled on for about 20 minutes, and then they decided to talk about penalties and the rule book. I may have pointed out a rule that lost someone their fastest time, but never mind. I didn't lose them their time. The book did. But I still got out of America, so they must have not figured it out.
You're just never going back again now.
Yeah, I won't be allowed back now. But, yeah, that was probably the only kind of two-wheel drive drama, was the heating of the tires, which was quite funny.
Got off quite lightly then.
Yeah, and then we got into finals, and whoever thought a young 16-year-old Tater Sontag would win, or as the Brits were calling him, Jacket Potato.
I mean, not that he's probably going to listen to this.
No.
Because why would he? Because, you know, he's a world champion now.
Yeah,
but honestly, I think no one had ever really. Obviously, if you're an American, you've heard of him. If you're an American national sort of race follower in general, you've probably heard of him. But
yeah,
most Brits, probably most Europeans, are like, who?
Who?
But I'll give that kid his absolute due to beat the likes of Cav, Mayfield, Ongaro, Rivkin.
Yeah,
and not do it like he did it convincingly. It wasn't like
oh yeah, it wasn't.
He had a wall, and you know, he only won
because he cut the tree. He made a really he just made it look faultless.
Yes, he did.
But yeah, credits to the kid with the amount of pressure and insane competition of the world that he has. Just the American drivers, let alone the Europeans behind him.
Yep. No, fair play. And also, I had heard of Spencer before because there used to be a podcast, I think it was on the Tone, one of the older podcasts. He probably got mentioned every week because when he was like coming into racing and sort of a younger lad, apparently he was batshit crazy. Like, telling
yeah, I mean,
to sod off. He used stronger language than that. But he was like, and I think what they did, if the story's right, told, he got bad that Raw banned him. Like, you're banned for a year. You go away and you have a thing. And he came back a racer and goes into the world.
Yeah, I mean, I know him from the national stuff in the past and IS and shit like that. But yeah, I heard that he was a bit off his tree. But, a little one.
Yeah. But to be
fair to him, though, he's pulled his finger out. He's took the warning, dealt with it.
Yeah.
Gone on to be a world champion.
Yeah, yeah. And spoke to him after he won. Ever such a polite lad. You know, It was really cool. This would have given Worsley like a heart attack, but it was really cool to see all the drivers run up onto the rostrum after he won, like give him a big hug. Even
I
though
saw
everyone
that.
Was still racing.
I know.
And my BRCA hat on, I'm going, oh, here we go. You know, you could just, but, you know, I don't know. I think the emotion got, the moment got everybody. But yeah, you know, it was really cool to see. Really, really cool. And his actual first name is Michael, not Tater. Funny enough.
Yeah, see, that threw a lot of people off as well. But
or as I said to you, the Brits best knew him as Jack of Potato.
Standard. That's just us in a nutshell, really, isn't it?
That's just us. So yeah, and the A final was a bit of a, you know, an odd one. There was no Michael didn't make the A. Bruno didn't make the A. You know, it was a bit of a, well, American fest, I would say, which we thought it would be with two-wheel drive.
Yeah, but it was definitely interesting. To obviously have some big names in the A final, but then again, there were big names in the A final, so.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely sure. It was great to see Brock come third. That was his first World's A final, and he managed to podium it. So, you know, the same as, I mean, it's quite funny when you think about Sontag. That was his first ever World's A final. He goes and wins it. That's quite cool, you know. Yeah, I didn't want once. Hey, how'd you get on? Yeah, I won it.
Exactly.
give me a new challenge. Dakota Fend, who I thought was going to be right up there. I don't know quite where it went wrong for him, but he just wasn't. He was on it in practice, but when it got to the actual race, he wasn't. He wasn't on it like I thought he would be.
Mm. Well, I think a lot of people sort of tipped this one to be Fenn's.
Yeah, I mean that was when you spoke around the pits. That was kind of the guy that was going to do it.
Yeah.
Marcus Krupp looked really good. He made the A in both classes. You know, he looked good. Mayfield made the A in two-wheel drive, which was cool to see. So, yeah, it was certainly different. And David Ongara, I mean, he made the A in both. I had him down to win two-wheel drive. I thought he was going to do the double, but just quite wasn't on the pace with that. And like I said, when you look into the B, you had Ty Tessman was in it, Orlowski, Bruno, Dustin Evans, Jorn Newman. Some big names.
Yeah, I think Jorn was very unlucky not to.
He was so unlucky.
Yeah. He came to, what, like, tenths of seconds or something for the Yawn to be knocked into the bee.
But I tell you what, Yawn and Bruno as well, if I ever owned a team, they would be on the top of my list to sponsor. They are like a sponsor's dream. Friendly, always chatty, always smiling, even when they're not in the A, you know, like even at a Worlds. Just absolutely, especially Bruno goes down in my books as one of my favorite drivers because he's just ticks every box.
Mm.
And he was, I still think Bruno will win some 10th scale Worlds. Definitely, he's not done there. But he's a good ally to have in team meetings. Because if you say something they don't want to listen to you, then Bruno says exactly the same thing. It's funny, they tend to listen when he says it.
Huh.
So it's quite nice. So yeah, and that was the Worlds, really. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to ask? I can answer. It was a Worlds.
No, I think pretty much everything's covered.
I think people wanted lots of drama, but unfortunately, guys, there wasn't tons of drama. Which is nice. We don't you don't want it to be overshadowed by Crackdown. I mean, there was a few things that they probably didn't get right in the background, like the practice final for the four-wheel drive and a few other things, but the race director, a guy called Garland Smith, he was chucked in the day before. Because who was meant to be the race director pulled out a day before it started. So this poor guy, they went, here's the clipboard, your race director. And he looked like a deer in the headlights on the first day, but come the end of the event, absolutely brilliant. And a really nice guy. Met Clayton, who was the Roar president. Again, he's trying to change Roar, make it quite good. And I think he's getting there. But the one thing I will tell you, and you ask anybody on that British team, when you go to a British national, whether it's on-road, off-road, any BRC event, appreciate how well it's run compared to some of the things I saw the weekend or in the week.
Mm.
You know, just, and any of the Brits on the team will tell you the same thing. A few of them said to me, like, they appreciate more what they've got. And even down to things like tires, you know, I'll say it how I see it. We have people moan, oh, Schumacher tires at nationals, blah, blah, blah. But we never have problems getting them. They're always available. Look at what happened at the Worlds. They couldn't even get them. You know.
Yeah, it makes you ponder.
It does. But yeah, it was a good event. Got home. Took 2 days to get home. That was a bit of a killer. They delayed our flight and blah, 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 blah. So I think I left Phoenix. We left Phoenix at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. And I think I walked in my front door at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. So it was a bit of a killer. I actually timed going over there when I got on the coach to when I stepped into the hotel in Vegas, and traveling over there was 22 hours.
Gross.
Yeah, but the plane was nice, the company was good, and you know, had a few beers on the plane, so it was nice. It was all right.
Nice.
Oh, and if you ever get the chat, well, you might have seen it. Did you see the video of Simon Smith getting done with a water pistol?
I did. The poor bloke was asleep.
Yes, he was. It was the last night. If you've not seen that video, message Stephen Pearson. I'm sure he'll show it to you. But yeah, poor Smithy asleep on the settee. He got nailed with a water pistol.
But I mean, he probably deserved it, but
he did deserve it. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the theme of the week. Anytime he come out to see, like, we were in the pool, we just nailed him with a water pistol. So yeah, and we had a good night. I think on the Wednesday night, on the rest night as well, Gemmo and Tommy and Jamie came over, and Stephen Pearce decided to order 3 of the biggest pizzas I've ever seen. Because only in America does pizza get cheaper the more you order. We're at that
one. That's good.
So like a small pizza for us would have been like 15 quid each. I think the 3 big ones made it like 8 quid each.
Not bad. going then.
No, we just had to eat it for the next 2 days.
Fine.
So yeah, that was it, really. That's a world's warm-up. Like I said, in two-wheel drive, I should say it because I mentioned the results, but we had our best result in two-wheel drive, which was Tommy Hall coming 25th. And he got to go up at the banquet and get a trophy. Now, that was cool to see because he worked hard for the whole week. So, you know, and he is our two-wheel drive national champion. Or was it four-wheel? Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one he won. Or did he win? I can't remember. I just read it. I don't remember things. So, yeah, that was really good to see. Ben, could I imagine 48th in two-wheel drive? Jamie Hall was 39th, which again, cracking result. And Crompton and Ed and Harley and Will Venables all made the, and Josh and Luke and Dom and Ben and Yuzir made the top 100. Which is cool. But I think they all had a good time. I'm sure they're probably everyone that went is still recovering. For those that you know, didn't watch any event, all the replays are on YouTube. Anyone wants to watch it? And if you go on the BRC website, there's a race report with a link to a very good video tour that Raceway One did of the whole venue. Mm. I suggest watching it. It is a cool venue, especially seeing like all the Kimwald's old cars in a cabinet lined up. That was a cool thing to see. They even like left a Kimwald pit space. They've got.
Yeah, I saw that was cool.
Which is really cool. And they did him like a driver badge and all that stuff. So a lot of time for that. We had a few ex-world champions actually turn up. So my idol when I was a kid, Jay Halsey, turned up, which was really cool to see. And then obviously, as you saw from the picture I put on Facebook, Cliff Lett turned up. And that, you know, I've not seen him for over 40 years. And it was that. For me, I've kind of feel like I've gone full circle with the hobby, which was quite cool.
Mm.
Back when I started, I know all the jokes. I used to live in America, which and I did tell everyone over there that I used to live in England, just for you, Jerry.
I was coming on to that next.
Yeah, I told everyone I used to live in England, but it was cool to see someone that I raced with 40 odd years ago. And as I said in my Facebook post, it made me quite emotional. I actually had to go and leave the building. So yeah, really, really good event. And the next Worlds is in Australia in 2 years time, so fancy a long flight. Only 20 odd hours, Jerry, if you want to come.
I mean, sure, yeah.
Yeah. Fly to Dubai, spend a day there, fly on to Australia.
Why the hell not?
And the Australians are cool. They had a huge team though. Josh Payne was Josh Payne. I think he actually remained clothed at this Worlds, which is a first.
Nice.
Well, maybe he didn't. I don't know. I think there might have been an incident in Hooters. Oh, yeah. Don't take Simon Smith into a Hooters either.
Oh.
That poor guy didn't know where to look. We left Ben at home for the Hooters trip. Don't think he would be embarrassed by his dad. I think it was a good move. So, yes. So, there we go. So, anything else you want to talk about, Jerry?
No, I think everything, we've pretty much covered everything.
Cool.
Everything's a nice ease back into it. You know, we've been away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So, well, we've had a lot going on, but we'll try and get one of these done every couple of weeks now. We don't like to do every week. We'll leave that to those other guys.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember their name. They didn't go to the Worlds anyway. We'll leave it to them to do weekly ones, and we'll try and do one every couple of weeks. Maybe we'll get a guest on next, Jerry.
Ooh.
I have many to choose from. Oh, I did have a hello to give to you.
Oh.
Who do you think came up to me and said, can you say hello to Jerry? I bet you'll never guess. Put it this way, you took the piss out of him for racing stock, and now he races mod.
Matty G.
Yeah, baby. He said, say hello.
No way. I'm famous. I've made it. Yeah. And yeah. America knows who I am.
Yeah, but he was a stock racer. It's not much to be famous about.
Well, if he's listening, hello.
And Aidan Horan also said he'd like to come on again.
Ah, so good.
There's a couple people we spoke to that I think are up for it. Nice. Yeah, we need to get some guests on at some point. I'm sure we can. There's plenty to choose from. I want to get Bruno on again.
Yeah.
So, and maybe David Ronafort once he finds his new sponsor, whoever that might be, which I might know, but I can't say. I've got a good idea. Anyway, on that amazingly small bombshell, we will see you again soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.